This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Anytime, anywhere, and favorite us today. WMFS-FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS, Memphis's sports station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN, today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Everybody, happy Wednesday to you wherever you may be. As the introduction suggested, I am Jeffrey Wright, joined by Brad Carson. Hey-o. Behind the glass. Good day, sir. How
What's
are you?
What's going on? How many radio shows are we up to for you, Jeffrey?
So this will be number 5.
Excellent. We were going to give you a triple, but I decided to step in this afternoon.
Okay, proud of you.
Yeah, we got multiple vacations, and we have 3 fill-in hosts with vacations. That leaves you and me, pal.
The radio station is...
Luckily, we have cell phone technology so we can talk to these people in Zimbabwe.
Yes. The radio station, 92.9, consists of 2 producers.
Bennett, Brad, producers. Jeffrey, and phones. Good luck.
Happy Wednesday to you. None of you care about that.
No, it's inside baseball.
What you do care about, though, is we got some NBA news as well as the Grizzlies did play last night. I'm not sure if you watched,
that was a craptastic event.
I'll say if you watched, you may not have cared one way or the other. Let's tell you what's coming up here on the program. John Martin's going to join the program via one of those wonderful cell phones. He'll join us in about 20 minutes or so. Dan Devine is going to join. He, of course, covers the NBA for Yahoo Sports. We'll discuss all of the comments Adam Silver made yesterday out in summer league. We'll discuss that with him, what he thinks that means for the league moving forward. Chris Harrington going to join us, as he does at 10 o'clock. However, now we welcome on the man. Yeah, we get some JT in the house.
Yes,
we welcome on the man that lends his name to this program. He, of course, is Jeff Calkins at Jeff_Calkins on Twitter.
Hello.
Jeff, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Zimbabwe is lovely this time of year.
Uh-huh.
You really should.
Yeah. Otherwise known as Mount Olive, Illinois.
The good news is you come back tomorrow. That's the good news. Yeah. No offense.
The good news is actually first of all, the good news is that you guys exist to do double shifts. It's like...
Don't tell that to females.
Really. Very impressive. And then the other good news is that even now, I'm winging my way back. Yeah.
Yes. That is... Trust me.
Through the farms of Illinois. Yes.
I haven't hit Illinois yet.
Okay.
I'm still in Michigan, but Chicago soon, then the farms of Illinois. It's a nearly 850-mile drive, but it's so much easier to do a drive when there are no dogs and no children. Like, it feels almost – if you are used to driving 850 miles with dogs and children – it is really, like, the stops are complicated. Everything's complicated. Whereas when it's just you and the radio and podcasts and the new radio app that we can listen to 92.9 on.
Radio.com.
Then it's like a breeze. It feels like an incredible vacation. In fact, where do you all fit on this? If you were going on a 900-mile drive.
Yes.
Would you rather be alone, or would you rather be with another adult?
Okay, for me, it's.
Let's see if you even like the adult.
Mm-hmm. I know an adult.
Yeah, you like them. That's a good question.
Here's the problem for me: if I'm starting the drive in the morning, I would rather be alone because I know I'm going to be fine staying awake and whatnot. If, like, say you're doing the drive where you're leaving after work because you didn't want to take the extra vacation day, you're leaving after work and you're just driving through the night.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer to have the adult just to keep talking.
I think that's a good answer, actually. Oh, we lost cell coverage in Michigan.
Here. Oh, here
okay.
we go. Am I here?
There we go.
I'm here.
All right, now, we lost you there for like
we hit a tower. We're good.
Yeah, hot second.
Yeah.
So that was my answer. My answer is in the morning, I would rather be alone because I can just listen to the podcast.
Brad?
So my wife has mastered the art of letting me do my thing when we're driving, and I have an only child, so it's not multiple kids. So in theory, now he's 10, so he can be occupied with devices and books, and he loves to read, which is helpful. And then my wife usually does work in the car. And then, so, yeah, I'm good either way, but yeah, if it weren't such an great arrangement that we've discovered with just the three of us, I'm with you. I think most people would say, even if they like the person and they're in love with their wife or they got their best friend or whatever, I think most people would say solo. Wouldn't you agree, Jeff?
I don't think so. I think most people, if they're faced with a 14-hour drive, think they would rather do it with their significant other or someone.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Thank you, Brad. Yeah. But I think now there's a lot of that's what she said. Let's be clear. I'd rather do it alone.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
Maybe it's because I'm fundamentally antisocial.
That's true.
You know when to stop. You can stop when you want to stop. You can listen to what you want to listen to. You can talk. I don't want to be forced to, and I'm a person who feels compelled to make conversation. I'm not someone who just happily sits in silence. I feel, ooh, there's a cop. I hope I get pulled over.
Oh, no.
I don't feel.
God, that would be electric.
This would be the second time since Dave Yeager got pulled over on the show when you were interviewing
him. The guy's in a blue SUV. They did a scary looking thing.
Yeah.
But he's not pulling me over. He came out of the median as I went past, so it looked ominous. I feel compelled to talk to people when they're sitting next to me, and 14 hours of conversation is exhausting. And so I would rather do it. I'd rather do it alone.
That's what she said.
Yeah. I view it a lot like commercial airlines view, like you only technically need one person to fly the plane. You have the second person there to make sure that the first person doesn't screw
good
up.
Good analogy,
like,
actually.
The first
yeah.
person doesn't screw up, fall asleep, make mistakes. I'm exactly like you. My natural, like, if I could have ideal conditions and you could guarantee me that, like, I'm not going to doze off, that I'm not going to do anything stupid, like, I would much rather do that thing alone.
That's what she said.
If it's, like, late...
Going nuts.
Well, by the way, that's also true.
Yeah.
That's for me. No one loves me like me.
Oh! Listen, I think we're revealing a little too much here, Jeffrey.
I'm batting 1,000.
Please stop just, now.
Yeah. You just need the other person there, Jeffrey, to make sure you don't screw up.
Yeah. Right. That's what she said.
Yeah, exactly. Here, I will say this, not to, like, toot
our
own horn.
Which, by the way, that is entirely selfishly motivated.
I don't
want the other person there. I need the other person there.
I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
No, the radio.com app, not to plug our radio.com app again, but, like, I seriously can get through 6 hours listening to local radio in a car in the middle of a cornfield in Illinois with the new technology stuff. Like, it does make it easier. With a podcast.
I listen to a lot of radio. Right. There's no question. And, I mean, I used to stop at Cracker Barrel and get, you could, like, rent out a book. And then you return the book for the same price back at your local Memphis Cracker Barrel. You can pretty much listen to anything or whatever. So, I prefer this careening across the... And it's not even that difficult. I'm with Jeffrey in that driving alone at night. Like, have you done the slapping yourself thing before? Like, just literally to stay awake, slapping your thighs
What I used to do is I would buy every time, like, whenever I'd stop at the bathroom, I'd buy a huge thing of bottled water. And if I could feel myself dozing off, I'd splash myself with water.
must have been a sight.
Oh, God, that was hilarious. The thing that I did find that was the most effective was chewing sunflower seeds. Chewing sunflower seeds would keep you awake.
I eat peanuts. A little bit, because it's complicated. Open the peanuts as you're driving and whatever else. So when at night I do eat peanuts, shelled peanuts, in the shell. Find place of shells that sells shell peanuts in the shell. And then, you know, loud music, window open. I've done that before.
Yep.
And it's all terribly dangerous. Anyway, the bottom line is that I will be back in our fair city tonight. I look forward to it, and I'll be back in studio tomorrow, and I thank you for holding down the fort while I've been gone.
I most certainly am looking forward to that. I wanted to ask you, so yesterday in Summer League, before we get to some of the Grizzlies' notes from Summer League, I thought one of the most interesting aspects of Summer League yesterday was the fact that Adam Silver was not only spoke, but he spoke, I felt like, fairly candidly. He spoke not only about parity, he spoke about the one-and-done rule. He also spoke about the playoffs. For what you saw, Jeff, what comments struck you as the most interesting?
Well, I mean, I think the stuff that we're going back to 18 is we've known, right?
I think that's fair, yeah.
It felt like that is on the way, and so it's just confirmation that that is on the way. He feels strongly about that, and it should be. There's really no reason. It demeans, I've said it a million times, if you want to be a tennis player, you can go straight. If you want to be a golfer, you can go straight. You don't have to go to college. If you want to be a plumber, you can go straight. If you want to be a rock musician, you can go. Particularly in things that involve physical talent and, why in the world are we making these people go to college? It makes no sense except for our fun and the league's PR. It makes no sense whatsoever to make these kids go to college, and it demeans educational institutions in the process, because in the end they go for 8 months and it's ridiculous. And even to the extent that we believe that they get, if you want to be paternalistic and say, well, they're getting something out of this, well, then it's almost hard to do that in the eight months that they're in college. So I'm all in favor of that. It obviously sets up, but it feeds into this compelling urgency for the Grizzlies to get rid of the Boston pick sooner rather than later, because it means there will come a draft, just like a couple of years ago in free agency, the summer of Kevin Durant going to Golden State. There was this 1 year when there was an extraordinary amount of cap room, and it would never be duplicated again. Now, the Grizzlies squandered that year on Chandler Parsons, but that's coming for the draft. There will be 1 year when there will be a doubly fantastic draft, because it'll be both the players who are forced to go to college that year, and then it'll be the players who go direct. It'll be as if there is literally the 16th pick that year would be the 8th pick in another year, right?
The yes.
25th pick.
Because the pool's bigger.
Pick that year, everything's doubled, right? So, and it looks like it's probably going to be 2021, but we don't know for sure. You need to make sure you have your pick in that draft, particularly in a city like Memphis, when a franchise like Memphis, where that's the only way, the best way to get great talent. So I don't think any of that's new, but it does feed into the sort of general plan of the Grizzlies, why it's important for them to be done with the draft obligations now. The second thing he said, which is I think the biggest challenge facing the NBA, is issues of competitive balance. And the way he phrased it, he said, I don't think there needs to be competitive balance. I think there needs to be competitive opportunity. And, of course, that's true. You don't need there to be every team. The NFL isn't great if every team is 8-8, right?
Agreed.
Let's take a league, any league. You don't want every team to be 8-8, but you do want, whether you're in Jacksonville or in Buffalo or in, pick your NFL city, you want to know that if you do things right, you have an equal chance, an equal opportunity to get to be a Super Bowl champion, right? So you don't want you don't need parity of equality of play. You do need equal opportunity, parity in terms of opportunity, and there isn't that in the league right now. There simply isn't. There is in the NFL. Whether you're in the littlest market, Green Bay, Jacksonville, whatever else, if you draft smartly and everything, you have an absolutely as good a chance as the Dallas Cowboys or Chicago. Chicago's muddled in mediocrity because they've been a crappy franchise.
Yeah, they've been incompetent.
They've been incompetent. And it's purely, in the NFL, it's almost directly related to your competence as an organization. There's very few external circumstances. Very rarely do you see a player say, I really need to go play in New York. I want to be in New York. Well, very rarely do you say, I want to be in L.A. Heck, they didn't even have a team in L.A. for forever. But you never saw
anyone say, like, I need to go play for the 49ers. I mean, they've been incompetent for the last decade.
They never even said, I need to go. We need Tom Brady and, four great players need to get together and go play together. It just doesn't happen. So there's no – it's really purely franchise competence at the – and it is almost 100% equality of opportunity. And it's why the NFL is easily – the best and most popular league in the country, despite everyone likes to talk about how much the NBA is better because they have personalities. For all of that, it's dwarfed in ratings and everything else by the NFL. Not even close. The NBA, and it's partly just a function of the way the game works. One player has a bigger impact.
Sure.
But the NBA, there simply is not a quality of opportunity because players are not going to cluster in Memphis, and because there's not a hard cap, there's a soft cap, and so teams can go over it to re-sign players. And the other thing is there's nothing to be done with this, is that players make so much money that they'll take a little bit less money to go do something, whereas that very rarely happens in the NFL, right? So if whether you're choosing between $140 million or $120 million in the NBA, you've made so much money that who cares? I'd rather go do it in Golden State. So the question is, how do you achieve anything like equality of opportunity in the NBA? And as long as players are willing to take dramatically less money to go cluster and play with each other, there's nothing to be done about that, and indeed you could argue that there's even some admirable things about that. We would normally applaud players for caring about winning over caring about money. And so, but I do think if it were up to me, I think a hard salary cap would be the way I would do it, and that way literally everyone can only spend the same amount of money, period, to the end. It wouldn't be a matter of Oklahoma City, or I mean, it wouldn't be a matter of Golden State deciding to play this massive tax. It wouldn't be a matter of any of that. It would simply be a matter of you could not do it. You get so much money, so many dollars to spend, and after that, you're done. The problem with that is really twofold. One is some teams make a whole lot more money in the NBA because of it, the national contracts aren't as big as the local. The national contracts in the NFL mean much more.
There's no such thing as a team. The only way a team can have a team contract is for the preseason. And let's face it, you're not getting rich off your preseason TV deal.
Team revenues in the there's a much greater disparity of team revenues in the NBA than there is in the NFL. And so to have that makes it harder to not at least acknowledge that disparity in spending. And the truth of the matter is that the tax, in addition to everything else, is also a way of giving money to poorer teams.
Yes.
Because if Golden State is paying a tax, that tax gets distributed to the Memphis Grizzlies because they are a taxpayer. And so they, as not a taxpayer, they there get a share. So it has a revenue sharing purpose to it as well. That's one problem. And then the second problem is that I see any way in which the NBA players would ever agree to a hard cap. And so I don't know how you solve this problem. And it's why I think Stern says he doesn't really see it as a huge problem, downplays the problem, because I don't see that problem going away. And indeed, there's some people who would tell you they don't think it is a problem, that seeing Cleveland and Golden State play every year is fine. I think it's fine in terms of the national television entertainment. You do want to see stars and all of that. I think it's not fine from the perspective of the health of individual franchises. And that, by that, I mean literally two-thirds of the franchises in the NBA have very little chance of ever competing for a title. And I think that is unhealthy for a league. And it's why, in fact, it's another reason why, as much as I love the Grizzlies and love what they've done for Memphis and think that they've totally transformed Memphis, it's why the NFL would have been a better fit. Lots of reasons. A, more people can afford to go because it's fewer home games.
It's 8 games.
Right? People can come in for the weekend and whatever, to spend $100 a night, 41 games a year. you're not competing with the Memphis Tiger basketball program, and you are in a league where you have a chance to win a championship instead of being in a league like the Grizzlies are right now, where they have effectively no chance to win a championship, where the goal can either be to try to squeeze into eighth place, or if they're really got it going on, to try to maybe someday, you know, make it into the top three in the conference, or top two in the conference, or maybe to make it into a Western Conference semifinals or whatever. But of course, now that's up in the air as well, because the other thing that he talked about was reseeding playoffs 1 through 16. But anyway, I think that the player stuff we knew was coming, the 18-year-old stuff we knew was coming, and that was reaffirmation of that. I think the thornier problem for the league, and the maybe insoluble problem for the league, is how you create parity of opportunity, because I don't think it's possible.
To me, it seems like the only way you could get the players to go along with a hard salary cap is if you eliminated the ceiling on a contract. Therefore, there's no such thing as a max deal. You probably keep the minimum, but there's no such thing as a max deal. So therefore, theoretically, you know, one player can take up, you know, 80% of
the problem with that is you're going to squeeze out that the LeBrons might be of the world might like that, but that would, if you have a hard cap and no max deal, it's going to totally squeeze out the middle class. And so will those players like being, yes, a few players might profit, but I don't think most would. And so I don't actually think the players would go for that either. Players aren't, I just don't see a universe in which the players go for a hard cap.
Would make it interesting, though, don't you think? Because then you could have, like, the Grizzlies could essentially operate like the Green Bay Packers do. The Green Bay Packers don't ever build teams through free agency. They build teams through the draft, and they have, to your point, they have a crap ton of middle-class players. Now they also happen to have the most talented quarterback alive, but that's helped keep them relevant. But, like, to me, like, I almost wonder if that is worth the thought experiment.
I think it's a fine thought experiment. I don't think the players would ever agree to it in a million years. So you can, like, can imagine a hard cap for baseball too. Never done it, never will do it, never. So, and then you also would have to then figure out a different way of revenue sharing, because that's the other part of this that we're ignoring, is that the hard cap wouldn't be set where the Grizzlies, the hard cap would have to be set at a place would might be more than the Grizzlies want to spend, for example. And because there's a cap and a floor. You don't just have a cap. You have to spend within a band, a certain band of revenue. And right now, literally, the Grizzlies get, I mean, last year when the story came out about the Grizzlies losing money, right?
Yes.
I forgot what it said. It was a ridiculous story, because it said the Grizzlies lost. You can look at it. I don't have this.
It was the ESPN story, and essentially what it said.
$37 million if you don't account for revenue sharing. Well, why would you do that? Like that, I guess I lost a lot of money if you don't count for my radio salary. Like
right. That is part of your income. Yeah,
right. It's part of their income. So it was one of it painted a wildly, artificially dire picture of the Grizzlies situation, because the Grizzlies get revenue sharing money. So, and honestly, if now, because they did a great job with their new local TV media deal, that really, I don't have the numbers in front of me, because I'm careening through Michigan now. But let's say they were, after you took care of revenue sharing, they lost $7 million last year. Basically, that has been taken care of with the new local media deal.
They netted $9 million on the media deal.
Right. So they're in a position to basically break even now. And so they're doing fine, but partly they're doing fine because of the revenue sharing that they get as a part of the tax plan. And so if you got rid of the tax plan, you would have to find a new way of revenue sharing. And what you hear right now, honestly, is that the big market teams don't like it the way it is. They don't like shipping money to Memphis.
No, that story that you referenced felt like it came straight from the desk of James Dolan.
Well, I mean, that is certainly, yes, that is certainly true, that the Knicks and the Lakers of the world resent having to ship money to Memphis. But listen, there's another way you could do this. You could say, listen, James Dolan, why don't you take your MSG deal and split it up between every team? Like, let's take all revenues and split them up. I mean, the vast majority of revenues in the NFL are shared equally.
Yes.
And so, not local media deals, but local media deals don't matter in the NFL. So, you can't exist in a league if it's just Los Angeles, Chicago, and L.A.
And the Bay Area.
And the Bay Area. Yeah. Like, that's
DC,
not a league.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
four teams playing themselves. Go ahead and do that. But if you're going to have teams everywhere and interest everywhere, you need to make sure that these teams are competitive both financially and on the court. And right now, I think the league is a real problem in that I don't think, if you're being honest with yourself, I don't think you can say that the Grizzlies have anywhere close to a quality of opportunity when it comes to competing in the we just saw it. Freaking draft picks who had no say over where they were going to go. They literally just – they didn't want to come in and interview at Memphis, much less free agents. And so Memphis overspends a little bit. And I like the Kyle Anderson deal, but, like, that's a Memphis free agent right there.
Exactly.
A guy named Slo-Mo, you know, like, who they overpay, a guy named Slo-Mo. And so because it's hard to get players to come to Memphis. And so I don't know how Adam Silver is going to solve this problem. It's nice that he's at least acknowledging that it is a problem, but you simply can't say that there's equality of opportunity in the NBA right now.
And then another thing I wanted to ask you about yesterday, Penny Hardaway, of course, held a media opportunity, media availability. They head out to Peach Jam, but I thought kind of the biggest aspect yesterday is, you know, Penny Hardaway, time after time after time, he is not backing down from his comments of they're going after the top players. And what did you take from what Penny had to say yesterday?
Well, I think that's it. It's just striking that most coaches couch things, right? They talk about five-year plans, and they talk about we're just trying to win the day, because who the hell can tell if you lost the day, right? I mean, we just want to be better tomorrow than we are today. We're building something. It takes a long time. The program was in the shambles when I took over. We're not here for the instant fix. We're building something for the long term. Like all the things you've heard a million times from every coach you've ever listened to ever. And he's just the opposite. And so he talks about national championships, and he talks about getting the best recruits in the world. And so I find it refreshing. And also, you hope that if, for example, if James Wiseman ends up going to Kentucky instead of Memphis, you hope that doesn't create a sense of disappointment. I'm not going to be I will be disappointed for Memphis and the program, but I will not be disappointed by Memphis and the program if they don't get James Wiseman. It will not disappoint me. I'm not expecting it. It's not something that I think should be a threshold to go get literally the best player in the country, or else you are a failure, any more than I think that going to the NCAA tournament this first year, or else you are a failure, is a proper measure for Penny Hardaway. But he sets these things for himself, and it's part of what's created great enthusiasm. I think it feeds into the sense that I think a lot of people that missed out on Penny is how unbelievably competitive and ambitious he is on behalf of the program, and how he just is absolutely fiercely determined not to fail. Like, who in the world imagined that he would ever get Tyler Harris and Alex Lomax? Different level of recruit than we're talking about now. But, like, the expectation was never to get both of them. It was to maybe get one of them. And he says, no, I'm going to get both of them.
In about a 10-day period.
Right. And then he does. And so he sets expectations that exceed what most people have, even fans have. When do you – and then he achieves them. And so what we've seen so far is remarkable. And you just don't often see a coach who has bigger expectations than a fan. You see a coach that says, well – nobody cares. Nobody wants it more for the program than we do. They say that all the time, but they don't openly say that. They don't openly set expectations that are higher than.
As a general rule, even coaches that are successful, they generally try to temper expectations.
That's part of this. It's on page 3 of the handbook, right?
Yeah.
You temper expectations. And
then you get paid when you exceed your own lowered expectations.
Right, that's exactly right. Have lower the expectations, exceed the low expectations, get paid, keep the expectations low as, for as long as you can, because once the expectations get to be big, it's impossible to meet them year after year, and that's when, by the way, people tell you to jump to a new job.
Correct.
And so instead...
And get paid again.
And then get paid again. And right, because someone else got fired and come in and talk about low expectations. And Penny's doing literally just the opposite. There's so much about him that is different than other coaches. It's why one of this, another reason that this is fascinating, what is happening here. The way he dresses is different. The way he talks is different. The way he is on social media is different. And I have very little doubt that he'll get at least one high-profile player. It'll be interesting to see, and we'll know soon enough, how many of them he's going to get. But it is a it shapes up as a fascinating time. And yes, this summer, in a way that, like, think about the last three summers. We didn't talk about this. Like, it wasn't even recruiting. Was not what we talked about, really, because there was nothing to talk about. No one had ever heard of the players that were being recruited. And now, when we were told that things were different in Memphis, you couldn't get Memphis kids anymore, much less kids outside of Memphis anymore. And now Penny's saying, I go get the best in the country. So I find it, A, refreshing, and then, B, I just want to – I do hope that, if every outsized expectation isn't met, that it doesn't set up Penny and fans for disappointment.
I do love the thought of maybe we should consider old-school coaches or just the coaches who come in and lower expectations and tell you, well, you can't do it like this anymore, you can't do it like that anymore. The new age coaches are the ones that say, why not? Penny Hardaway says, why can't you do it? And he just goes out and does it time after time. It is amazing to watch. All right, I wanted to ask you one more thing. So yesterday, of course, the news started to break. According to ESPN, Georgia police and the NFL are investigating a home invasion Tuesday at a house owned by Buffalo Bills running back LeSean McCoy, in which his estranged girlfriend was allegedly beaten and robbed of jewelry. Police in the Atlanta suburb of Milton said they are investigating the incident, have not named any suspects. McCoy, who has been training in Miami this summer, denied accusations made on social media by a friend of the victim that he was responsible for her injuries. He said that he has not had direct contact with her in months. Obviously, one big aspect, Jeff, that I think makes it just really, really terrible outside of just the act itself, but we've always seen in the NFL when there's video, when there's pictures of the victims, it always seems to go worse. When you think about LeSean McCoy's future in the NFL, where are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are with her more than with LeSean McCoy, and it, in some ways, it goes better if I'd phrase it differently. It goes better if there's pictures, because then people aren't allowed to hide behind the lie that domestic violence is just two words that, you know, you get a truer sense of justice, a truer justice when there are pictures, which is sad that it's necessary, but true. But this is a fascinating deal, gruesome, but fascinating, because it, like he said what he said, I haven't had direct contact. No one is arguing, I don't think, that, at least from what I've been able to tell, that LeSean McCoy was over there beating the hell out of her.
Correct. Right? That does appear to be the case.
And so that denial isn't, like, I think people understand that he wasn't there. But if he's sending his goons to collect his jewelry, which he says is his, she hasn't given up, right? That he gave her previously, which is, according to the stories, one of the sort of accounts, is that the people who went in and did this were asking for specific pieces of jewelry. Well, that at the very least fits with the idea that he may have sent them. And if he sent them, he will and should never play in the league again. And that's pretty clear. And so it'll simply come down to whether he sent them. And I guess you don't send someone to jail based on what you surmise from no evidence at all. And that's what I have is literally no evidence at all and a supposition. But who in the world, it's credible to think he could, like, it fits, the narrative fits, to think that he's mad at this woman, he wants his jewelry back, he sent someone to get specific pieces of jewelry.
Yes.
I guess that all seems to fit, right?
Yes.
And And so it does seem like a logical rendition of what happened. Now, I suppose it's also possible that someone just knew these pieces of jewelry were in the house because whatever, maybe they cleaned the house or and they told their, you know, someone who cleans the house told someone who said they knew these pieces of jewelry are there. And so you can imagine other scenarios where people are asked, where invaders are asking for specific pieces of jewelry that don't involve the ex-boyfriend. But you can certainly imagine scenarios where they do involve the ex-boyfriend. And I imagine that they will prove this one way or another. Don't you think? I mean, this does not seem like this is going to be some 10 years from now, some unsolved mystery. I think they will solve it. I think we will find out if LeSean McCoy was behind this. And I think if LeSean McCoy was behind this, he will never play in the NFL again.
Yes, because...
He should never play again.
Because to me, either... There's really only two scenarios. Either these people are connected to LeSean McCoy, as you mentioned, because they know they're going and looking for targeted, or you'll be able to very clearly show that there is no connection. For instance, say that they were going in knowing that the victim put on social media that she wears this gaudy jewelry, and they've seen it, and they can identify that it's worth a ton of money, and they know where the house is. Like, okay, you can go and target. Like, you can find out if there's no connection to LeSean McCoy one way or the other. And if there's a connection to LeSean McCoy, not only won't he play in the NFL again, like, I hope he goes to jail for a very long time.
Right. Yes, he'll be in jail. If there is a connection, he will be in jail and should be in jail. So, on the other hand, I will say this. Like, if there is no connection, and I do believe that, like, a lot of times when people are accused of something, people say, well, and the story saying that they were absolved is on page 17 and on page 1 was the. I actually think if he's absolved, it'll be very public that he was absolved. I don't think if he's not responsible for this, I don't think his reputation will be tarred forever. I think it'll be clear. He either will be connected to this or he won't be connected with this. We will find out one way or another. I don't bet on domestic violence. That seems weird, but
it's not usually very accurate lines on that.
But I do. I imagine he was. My guess would be he's involved. Like, it fits. But who the hell knows? And it is just a weird and gruesome story. And yes, I do hope they solve it. And I imagine they will.
Yes, I completely agree with you. Jeff, we really appreciate your time. I specifically am looking forward to you being back in this chair tomorrow. Can't wait to see you.
Well, yeah, you've been two shows a day that's like Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. You're working Las Vegas stuff there.
Right. Although four-hour show split between two different parts of the day, if you think about it that way.
Right.
To be positive, Paul.
Good
here.
Point. Good mm-hmm. point. Thanks.
Touche. Touche, Brad.
See ya. Bye.
Thank you, Jeff.
I've thought about this.
We are going to, because we had good stuff with Jeff, we are going to move John Martin to tomorrow. So that way, the very first person that Jeff can see other than me.
Yeah, his buddy John.
Is his buddy John. So we're going to move John to tomorrow. Sounds good. We're going to have Dan Devine. He, of course, covers the NBA for Yahoo Sports. We'll continue this conversation of what he makes of all of the comments that Adam Silver made, whether it be parody of opportunity, whether it be the playoff reseeding, all the stuff that I think is really interesting and definitely really matters here in Memphis, especially as it pertains to the future of this franchise, as they are in somewhat of a they're at somewhat of a crossroads right now. So we're going to talk to Dan about all that and more in the NBA when we come back right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The Jeff Calkins Show.
Welcome to Dave Yeager on the VO2 Networks Hotline. And how do you sort through those things?
That's a great question, Jeff. And I will call in tomorrow. I just got pulled over for making a U-turn by the FedEx Forum. This interview is going to have to be concluded.
Dave. Weekdays 9 a.m. till 11 a.m. on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
So maybe you're sitting in your house one day and you notice, hey, there are cracks in the walls. Or, hey, are those floors sinking or sloping a bit? That could be the sign of a foundation problem. And if you have a foundation problem, you have a serious problem, and you need to get in touch with the Redeemers Group, a local company that has been serving Memphis and the Mid-South for over a decade and that offers complete and permanent solutions at an affordable price. They handle foundation repair, crawl space repair, basement waterproofing, and concrete leveling. All you've got to do is call Redeemers Group at 541-865, 541-8765, and they're going to send an expert out to your home, no cost. They're going to come out, size up the situation, and give you an estimate. At that point, you decide exactly what you want to do. If you want to proceed with the project, you can mention my name, Jeff Calkins. You'll get an additional $50 off your repair project. If you don't want to proceed, for whatever reason at all, just say no thanks, and you don't owe them a penny. So there's literally no downside in calling, but there could be a big downside in waiting. Call Redeemers Group at 541-8765. That's 541-8765. Or find them on the web, redeemersgroup.com.
Here's a riddle. What's way fun, way hot, and goes by way too fast? That's right, summer. The one season we can't get enough of and can't believe when it's gone. So don't let the fun pass you by. Get the most out of your summer with July Instant Games. With four great games to play, go ahead and give yourself something fun to do while laying out or cooling off. And make this summer one to remember. July Instant Games from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Just remember to play responsibly.
At the Tennessee Lottery, we're all about game-changing fun, like winning numbers that are drawn three times a day. That's right. With Cash 3 and Cash 4, we draw numbers three times a day, Monday through Saturday, and once on Sunday, which means you've got three chances a day to win up to $500 for Cash 3 or $5,000 for Cash 4. So, plan to play. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3, and 4. The Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun.
Are kids better off in an intact family? You bet they are. This is Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Kids living in a household with married parents do better in school, they're emotionally healthier, and they're more likely to stay out of trouble with the law. If you're in a troubled marriage, of course you should do everything you can to save your marriage, if only for your kids' sake. This includes considering alternatives to divorce. Of course, in some circumstances, divorce is unavoidable. In either case, if you're a man facing a crisis in your marriage, let us help you at Cordell & Cordell. Remember, we're the partner men can count on.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Memphis attorneys. A partner men can count on. 901-362-3666. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. 6000 Poplar Avenue, Suite 225, Memphis, Tennessee, 38119.
Howie's here from Robert Irwin Jewelers. Howie, what's the one thing someone should know when shopping for a diamond engagement ring?
Three words: trust your eyes. Keep in mind that choosing a slightly lower color and clarity can only be seen using a microscope, but not with the naked eye.
And I'm just looking for bigger and brighter.
Exactly. And if you want a bigger, brighter diamond, come to Robert Irwin Jewelers Summer of 1000 Engagement Sale. And right now, save 20 to 40% off.
And with a $1,500 purchase, you get a free mini vacation.
Free financing or convenient locations or online at rijewelers.com.
And barbecue is happening at Kroger, and we're here to help you make it the best summer yet. So before you fire up the grill, head to Kroger for delicious food, refreshing drinks, and more to make your summer a thrilling success.
The Buy Five, Save Five event is on now. Mix and match favorites like Starbucks coffee, Kroger fruit bars, and more. Fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
If you suffer from ED and you've seen your doctor about the little blue pill, you know it can be expensive, and seeing the doctor and waiting at the pharmacy can be a hassle. What if I told you that a certain little blue pill just came off patent December 11th, and that same active ingredient that's in the little blue pill is now available in generic form, available to you for just $30 for a month's supply? That's a big discount. No more getting ripped off by the big pharma companies. With 4hims.com, you can bypass the doctor's office, pharmacy visit, and save huge money on your prescription ED meds. Just go to 4hims.com/fresh. Consult with a licensed physician, and following their confidential medical review, you can have the proper prescription delivered directly to your door for a fraction of the price. And today, while supplies last, you can get started with a trial month for just $5. That's right, $5. Here's what you do. Just go to 4hims.com, F-O-R-H-I-M-S.com/fresh today, and get started for just $5 while supplies last. Visit 4hims.com/fresh right now. 4hims.com/fresh.
See website for full details. Not all services through the Hims platform are available in all 50 states.
Does your business internet provider promise a lot? Let's hear who really delivers. Comcast Business gives you gig speed in more places. Other providers don't. We offer more complete reliability with up to 6 hours of 4G wireless network backup. The others, no way. We let calls from any of your devices appear to come from your business number. Them, not so much. And Comcast Business Smart Office lets you keep an eye on your business from anywhere. Others, nope. Call 1-800-501-6000 to get 75 megabit internet from the provider who delivers for $49.95 per month when you get two voice mobility lines.
Offer in 7/20/18. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Two-year term required. Early termination fee applies. Requires subscription to two Comcast business voice mobility lines and additional regular monthly rates. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change. Connection per restrictions apply. Minimum term agreement required. FLEF-000279. TNACL-2006. AZROC-307-346. CACSLB-102-8256. ORCCB-1999-39. Call for details.
Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. Joe Choate started Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing 60 years ago in 1958 with the mission to be honest, fair, and trustworthy to each customer, to do every job like it were his very own. Now his grandsons, Saul and Brian Choate, run the company with the same morals that their dad and grandfather instilled in them. To celebrate our 60th anniversary, Choate's would like to offer a $60 tune-up special to all our heating, air conditioning, and plumbing customers. We are also offering a 60-month, no-interest financing on select Carrier HVAC systems and new water heater installations starting at just $60 a month. Call 755-4797 today to take advantage of our 60th anniversary specials. And remember, Choate's, let our family serve your family.
Hurry into Kroger for the two-day-only digital sale. Friday and Saturday, get select cartons of Kroger Deluxe Ice Cream for just 99 cents with your Plus Card and digital coupon at Kroger.
92.9 FM, 680 AM, and 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN. Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
Dan Devine covers the NBA for Yahoo Sports. Does an outstanding job. Make sure you go read his stuff over at yahoosports.com. Also, make sure you follow him on Twitter, at yourmandevine. He joins us as he does each and every Wednesday because he is not only your man, he's my man. He's the man. Dan, good day, sir.
Hey, Jeffrey. How are you doing today?
Doing well, buddy. All right, I want to start here with you. Yesterday, Adam Silver made the comments of he would like to see parity of opportunity with the NBA. Obviously, he's vague for a lot of reasons. A, it's a negotiation. B, he may not know exactly what that means himself. But when you talk to people around the league, what's the best example that someone can give of what parity of opportunity would look like?
It's an interesting question. You're right. It's an interesting turn of phrase. I think, you know, the idea being, you know, you give everybody kind of the same set of rules and the same, you know, the same general salary, you know, rubric, the same financial realities, and say, all right, well, you know, now it's on you to go make the best roster out of it. And obviously, market size is going to be a different situation. You know, certain ownership groups in certain markets are going to be better capitalized and able to pay into the luxury tax, or, you know, sort of handle those sorts of situations because they've got, you know, better TV, local TV deals that they're able to tap into that revenue stream. They've got, you know, they're able to sort of generate higher grosses at the gate in their own buildings, whether it's because they've got brand new buildings or because they've got more money in the area. You know, there's all sorts of, there are different factors there, but generally speaking, it's like, well, if we've got this, you know, multi-billion dollar sort of, you know, pie that everyone's getting an equal sort of share in, if you're not paying into the luxury tax, you're getting revenue sharing from that, from the teams that do, so you're getting that financial boost to kind of keeping everybody on a level playing field generally, then it presents everybody an opportunity to go out, and if ownership thinks that they've got a chance to have a winner, then, you know, they've got to make the chance to make the choice to pay for it. I think that's generally the idea. Like, he doesn't, you know, Adam Silver's never going to say we want teams in big markets to be bad. It doesn't make any sense. You know, there's always, LA is always going to draw attention. New York's always going to draw attention. Chicago's always going to draw attention. You know, Golden State, you know, the Bay has made itself into that sort of destination over the last handful of years. But, like, these big markets where there's a lot of people paying attention, you know, Houston is an example of that, too. Miami became that with LeBron, but, you know, where there's a lot of people paying attention, they're always going to have some slight level of advantage, or teams in Florida or Texas without the state income tax have a slight advantage in terms of getting players in. But generally speaking, as long as you're setting up a system where it's not totally uncapped, and like, you know, in Major League Baseball, where the Yankees would sort of always have the 800-pound gorilla competitive advantage, then I think it presents that chance. If you're smartly managed, and if you've got ownership willing to pay when you get the opportunity, and you can sort of sell a real basketball product, you know, then you put yourself in position to succeed. I think the Oklahoma City keeping Paul George as opposed to having him go to LA is kind of a big win for Adam Silver in that regard. Obviously, it's not, you know, it's not really about him. It's about what the choice Paul George made. But if Paul George just goes there for 1 year, they go with the full court press on selling him on the organization, and then he up and leaves to go to LA anyway, then I think that makes it harder for the league to credibly make the case like, listen, that's a small market. It doesn't have the giant, you know, millionaires in the front row every night. It doesn't have the same level of sort of widespread fan support or, you know, global brand recognition as the Lakers do. But they kept a top 15 player in unrestricted free agency without even giving a meeting somewhere else. That shows what can happen if you've got the right management in place, you've got the right sort of culture in place. I think that's kind of what he's talking about, what he's looking for.
In your opinion, what do you think Adam Silver believes is the biggest issue facing his league long term?
I think global expansion is really the thing that he seems to be most focused on.
Sure.
The perpetual sort of, you know, continual extension of events into Europe during, you know, preseason and regular season games in London. The, you know, extension, you know, further into Asia with, you know, with teams going over there in preseason, greater sort of tapping into markets social media community and the readership and following in Asia, and then also in India as well. The continued expansion of stuff like Basketball Without Borders in Africa. You know, the idea that there's going to be, I think they're finally sort of moving toward getting preseason games and things like that with teams in Australia. And you know, this idea that basically everywhere the NBA can plant a flag, they want to plant a flag, in part because, you know, maybe two decades down the line, that becomes a new pipeline of talent, as we've seen in South America and Europe, sure. Africa, you know, over the course of the last couple of decades, basically since the 92 Dream Team. And then also just, you know, if there are several billion people who might watch the game, you know, you want to keep putting the game in front of them and you want to keep putting your stars in front of them. I think that, from the business perspective, is kind of the biggest thing that he wants to do. And then, you know, we're also hearing more, you know, you hear more about priorities now, like, if you're able to get rid of one and done in a couple of years, which he had been very, you know, pretty reluctant and resistant about, now says, you know, he seems a bit, he believes the NBA is ready for that in a couple of years' time, you know, then it's just, you know, reducing or eliminating whatever barriers possible to get NBA caliber talent and as much the best talent that there is available, whether that's, you know, 18 years old or guys that have grown up somewhere else around the world, get the best talent possible into the pipeline, into the league. And I think that's probably what he's looking at the, you know, most of all, because when you've got the best talent to sell and you can sell it as widely as you can, then you're going to get as many, you know, more eyeballs than you've ever gotten, and you're going to be able to increase the revenues even more.
Talking, of course, with Dan Devine of Yahoo Sports. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, @YourManDevine. You're, of course, listening to the Jeff Calkins Show right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Jeffrey sitting in for Jeff. And then one last interesting thing that I thought from his comments, and I'm curious to know your opinion. Were you surprised to hear that Adam Silver was as open to the idea of reseeding the playoffs 1 through 16 as he appeared to be?
No, because I think Adam Silver is been pretty open over the course of his tenure here the last few years to, you know, if there's widespread sort of public interest in something, to at least review it.
Sure.
To not, you know, to reject nothing out of hand, to study it, because, and you know, it's, you know, to just remain open to change in the possibility that, you know, the way that we've done things for 50, 60 years doesn't necessarily mean that it's the best way to do it, you know, today. It might have been the best way to do it over the course of the last few decades, but maybe not right now. You know, he made this similar sort of comment last year, last summer, I believe, when we said, you know, there's nothing magic about 82 games. You know, we have the understanding that that's how long the NBA season is, but maybe it doesn't have to be. And yes, there would be all sorts of questions about what that would do to, you know, numbers over the course of time and records and historical things and, you know, and so on and so forth. But, you know, Major League Baseball was 154 games for a long time. Then they made it, you know, they made it 162. And other sports have had similar sort of shrinking and expanding of calendars. And
the NFL used to play 14 games. Like, that's the thing. The Miami Dolphins team went 14-0.
Exactly, right, yeah. So, you know, they, people figure it out over the course of time, and, you know, the sport does not implode. If nothing else, those conversations might even make it more, you know, improve the barstool arguments. You can start, continue to argue with, you know, whether this guy was better than that guy because that guy played more games or fewer playoff games or whatever. We had the same sort of discussion about going from best of five in the first round, a couple rounds of the playoffs to best of seven, all those sorts of things. So I think in general, that idea that, you know, we're looking at, you know, what's the way to get the best product on the court for the widest number of viewers and then followers, et cetera. If there's enough motion and enough belief that reseeding 1 through 16, irrespective of conferences, does that, then I think that's, you know, something to be, you know, that'll be worth considering and that he's willing to at least have the discussion about. You would need the overwhelming support of the ownership, and I don't understand necessarily yet why Eastern Conference owners would throw their support behind that, if that means that, you know, they'd go from having 8 guaranteed playoff spots to maybe 4 in a given year or even less than that, some depending on the conference imbalance. Maybe they wouldn't view that as a particularly good you know, piece of business for them to do. But the idea that you remain open to the discussion, I think, sort of seems in keeping with Adam Silver's tenure so far.
And then what did you make of the Grizzlies signing Slo-Mo? They have added Kyle Anderson. It was a 4-year, $37 million deal. When you saw that deal come across the wire, what were your initial thoughts?
The two things that I thought, I was like, well, this is kind of perfect because Kyle Anderson is a player I don't feel like I've been able to figure out throughout his tenure in the NBA so far. I feel like I'm constantly sort of in between understandings of him. The fact that it's like a little over $9 million annual average value, I'm like, I can't tell if that, because that's, you know, a little more than like the taxpayer mid-level exception.
Sure.
I'm like, is that the right money for him? Is that a little too much for him? Is that a good deal on him? And so, like, everything about it, and then also, Memphis, okay, so, like, where does he – he's, again, not really a shooter, but he is a playmaker, and he's sort of weirdly effective defensively. Where does he fit into this team? Is Memphis rebuilding? Are they trying to go right back to the playoffs right now? So everything about it left me sort of wrong-footed and off balance, which I think, all things considered, maybe is kind of the perfect the perfect understanding for player, team, fit, role, et cetera. Like, the further away I get from it, from the initial sort of shock, maybe not shock, but the initial kind of like, huh?
In fairness, we all had it too. So don't feel like you're putting yourself on an island here.
Okay.
I mean, my first thought was, really? That much money?
Right, but then it's also like, okay, that's not even appreciably more than the average salary in the NBA now. You know, like, it feels like $9 million a year. I'm like, wow, that's a ton of money, but it's also not crazy, right? So, like, I mean, everything feels crazy in a market where, you know, DeMarcus Cousins gets 5, but, like, generally speaking, I'm like, that's not, it isn't as crazy as you would think, especially because, like, well, what do we know he does well? We know he's like a pretty good defender. I mean, even though it doesn't necessarily seem like he should be, given his physical sort of his athletic shortcomings,
limitations.
The fact that he's named Slo-Mo doesn't necessarily lend you to believe that he's an explosive, quick twitch athlete. But he's smart. He can defend multiple positions. He can, you know, sort of force turnovers. He gets his arms on balls. He, you know, can deflect things and contest shots in weird ways. Guys don't necessarily seem to be able to get a good beat on him when he's playing defense. But again, defends multiple positions, so he can play up as a small ball power forward. He can even guard some guards if you want to play big. He's a good playmaker, a really good playmaker. Great court vision, great sense of pace when he's handling the ball. So he can sort of run offense, but he can also be a complimentary sort of secondary, third ball handler for you. And he doesn't shoot the ball great, but he finishes well inside, and he can score, you know, 10, 12 points a game for you. So he's a complimentary player. And if your belief as a franchise is right now with a healthy Marc Gasol and a healthy Mike Conley, and whatever we're going to be able to get out of Chandler Parsons and so on, we have like a roughly competitive lower tier of the West core playoff tier core right now, and we believe that we're going to go back to sort of we're going to be more defensively capable by adding Jaren Jackson Jr. and Javon Carter. This is the kind of guy who bridges those two worlds, who's like, I can help you be a good team now. He was a more important part of that Spurs team last year that made the playoffs despite Kawhi Leonard being out than I think a lot of people realize. And you know, it's a guy that can sort of be a consistent high-floor baseline player as we move into whatever the next generation of the team is. The more, so anyway, the further I get away from it, the more I'm like, the fact that he doesn't make sense kind of makes sense for this team, because he might make sense for a couple of different reasons now and into the future.
Yes, it's almost like it's NBA Inception. Like, you've got the idea in your head, like, the farther and farther you go down, like, the more and more you go down this rabbit hole, the more and more it makes sense to you, even though maybe initially the premise didn't make sense.
Yeah, and there, I mean, to be fair, it is possible that outside the cocoon of San Antonio, we've seen this happen before. Guys that look good in that context, when they get outside that context, don't look as good. We've seen that, you know, guys that leave Brad Stevens in Boston, guys that leave other sort of, you know, guys that look great next to LeBron, you put him somewhere else, they don't look as good. It's very possible that that's not going to, you know, pan out. But I think if what you're expecting, it's one thing if he got, you know, 4 years, $77 million, and what you're expecting him to do is go and be a star. If he's not Chandler Parsons, or if he's not what you expected from Chandler Parsons, not what you're paying for from Chandler Parsons, that's okay, because you're basically paying him, again, a mid-level exception kind of contract. That obviously matters more in Memphis, where you're trying to get, you know, there's already so much art on the books with Gasol and Conley and Parsons, and you're trying to get maximum value out of every dollar. But I think the possibility of him living up to and exceeding that contract is higher than, you know, you might expect from a player with his kind of background, I should say.
And then lastly, the Grizzlies did not play without Jaren Jackson. Obviously, he had his massive debut, but since then he's kind of come back to reality a little bit. What have you seen thus far from Jaren Jackson, even though of course he didn't play last night?
Sure, I think that, you know, we're not going to see the jumper, you know, as effective.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.